Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Doing well. A little sweaty. Just finished working out. Been back at the gym for a week now. It feels good.
Yay! So, did you know that this is episode 50?
I did. I just wrote that down. That's crazy.
In two more episodes, we have a year's worth. Even though we've already passed our one-year anniversary.
Yeah, but there were two. That's not too bad. To only have missed 2 weeks.
Right.
That's a fucking commitment.
Yeah. I mean, you had Christmas and Thanksgiving and all those holidays.
Vacations, holidays. Yeah, all that stuff. Busy life, work schedules, farm schedules, that schedule.
Uh-huh.
That's Canning not bad schedules. For something that we're doing for fun.
Right?
I think this is the only thing I've committed to all year.
Wow.
So, hey, I'm back at the gym, which pretty much means that I'm a full-on athlete at this point.
Nice.
I've gone nine times. I will tell you, though, it feels good. And I think that if you've left your gym during Corona, get your ass back there. Because for me, I was working out at home and that was fine. But quite honestly, everybody else is at home. I only joined my gym because it is a source to get out.
That makes sense.
Right? So if you have your home gym, but you're working at home and your kids are at home, go join the gym. For that $30 a month, it is worth it for me to get out and just be out of this place.
I understand. So I have a little sad news. So, you know, I was doing my Beachbody every day. I did T20 6 weeks. I was eating great. Like, I felt like I was losing weight. But remember, I didn't know because Dion hid the scale from me.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then I hurt my neck. I was down for 2 weeks. And now I'm back on T25. And I've been on it about a week. Well, Dion is now trying to lose weight along with me. So we decided to pull out the scale. I haven't lost a fucking pound.
All right.
All that fucking work. So we have decided now it is time for Tabby to go to a weight loss clinic because I think the problem is my hypothyroidism.
Right.
So I'm not losing weight like I'm supposed to because my metabolism isn't getting jump started like it is.
Okay.
And it's not like I'm doing little exercises. I was doing T20, and if anybody doesn't know, that's the advanced level Beachbody exercise. I mean, you come out of there dying.
Now, what about shape-wise? Do you feel like you've... No. Nope.
Huh. I'm still bloated.
It has to be. That's the thing about working out, too, and something that my gym partners and I were talking about today is if you can go and work out, like Ethan's worked out all summer, right? Mm-hmm. But because Ethan wasn't eating enough, his body hasn't changed at all.
Right.
Now, I signed him up with a trainer at our local gym, and I'll give free advertisement for Inner Gym of North Jacks.
Formerly
Anytime Fitness. If you guys are living in the O-Dub or on the north side, please go and check him out and support Brad. He's just bought this gym, and he's doing great. But I bought Ethan a month worth of personal training because of the food aspect, right? Because if not, you have to fuel your body. And when you have something going on like thyroid that is working against you, fuck, I'd rather sleep in than work out until you get that, right?
Oh my God, that's exactly what I said yesterday. I was like, wait a minute, I fucking did all this work and it hasn't done anything? Fuck this shit, I want my salt, vinegar, potato chips.
Right, exactly. So until you get that, I don't blame you. I'd get that figured out first before I go back to that.
Because, and the other part is like, so the bitch of it is my thyroid is actually leveled out with the medicines and everything, but I can't get my immune system, or not my immune system, shit. I can't get my metabolism going.
Right, right.
So.
And that's funny. Isn't that sick is that what they're working on with Ethan is slowing his metabolism down.
Really?
Where we would pay to have a fast metabolism again. They're working on slowing it down with white rice and Rice Krispie treats. and ice cream and, you know, lean proteins, lots of vegetables. But I'm like, you fucking suck.
What in the actual fuck?
Yeah. Like, Mama, you need to buy me some Rice Krispie treats. Mr.
No, Brad, you go buy so. Your own damn Rice Krispie treats. I know. Because my fat ass is going to eat them. And I don't have your metabolism. You eat some fucking broccoli.
I know. I know. I mean, that's exactly what I... He was like, I'll get Chipotle. And I'm like, I'm eating grilled chicken and steamed broccoli for lunch. Have fun.
Yay. Great. Yeah. It's so bad. Ugh.
It is. But it's...
Fair.
I told Amaris that we are prepping our body for hibernation. Just like the bears. Because let's be honest, come football season, come winter, everybody kind of slows down. You start eating really hearty meals, a lot of beef stew, a lot of chili, a lot of breads, a lot of cornbread. Yep. We are preparing our body for hibernation.
Pretty much. Well, my body's quite well for hibernation, the lower half, because, right. I mean, it's thick downstairs.
Yeah. So you want to know what I got myself into this weekend?
What did you get yourself into?
If you live in a neighborhood, you know that on Facebook or through the Nextdoor app that there is neighborhood associations, right? And now mm-hmm. they've created these groups online or these groups on these apps. And the purpose of the apps are supposed to be able to communicate with your neighbors, share recommendations, blah, 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 blah. What really happens is it's just a fucking wine fest. Everybody goes on there. They fucking complain. On July 4th? Are you kidding? Fireworks again? Bitch, you know it's happening every year. My dog is so stressed out. Well, you know what? You're a bad dog owner. You know every year, July 4th, New Year's Eve, it's going to happen. Get your dog some fucking Valium and get off Facebook.
Why would you join something like that? I mean, they have taken the corner catty bitches to a whole new level.
It's ridiculous. It is literally ridiculous. It's always fireworks, dog poop, and then now it's music. And that's when I stuff. It's always, did somebody hear that music? It's who's playing loud music? I can't sleep, blah, 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 blah. Well, it was on a Wednesday. Uh-huh. And so typically I read it and I make fun of people, but I don't participate.
Okay.
But on Wednesday, this bitch just, I just had enough. So we're going to call her Leslie because that's her name. Leslie. Oh. Leslie is the new Karen in my house. So Leslie goes on there about 2 o'clock on a Wednesday complaining about the noise. Or the music from her neighbor 2 doors down.
Tuesday afternoon?
On a Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Because Leslie's got herself a big girl job that she has to have Zoom meetings. And do you know how unprofessional it is to have music playing? Well, I'm sorry, Leslie. Do you not know the world is in a fucking pandemic? And for the last 7 months, everybody is working from home. And you're not the only one. And do you think that if your job is not in taking that in consideration, when I was in a Zoom call the other day, 3 people picked up their fucking dogs. It's like being in the online classroom at elementary school where people are like, hey, mm-hmm. look, there's my wife. Professionalism during a Zoom meeting is gone.
Pretty much.
So remove Leslie the stick out of your
children,
ass.
Leslie does not have children, does she?
I don't know.
Because... There's no way you can have a professional Zoom meeting when you have little children running around.
Right. And also, Leslie, you're not the only one now working from home. And so chill out. So right. she puts that and people start saying, hey, well, maybe you should talk to your neighbor. Maybe you should go over there. Because she's saying, you know, that she's going to call the police and the police can't do anything because you can't be cited for a noise ordinance until after 10 p.m., So right. obviously she's already tried to call the police. Obviously she's looked into the rules. You're stressing yourself out, Leslie. Fucking chill
out. Wow. What the hell?
I click on her name and she did go and talk to the neighbors after she posted online, comes back online, calls the man crazy. Her husband's mad at her because you don't know how people are going to react. Now you're writing all this about somebody that is 2 houses down on a public forum. Way to build community, right? What a great neighbor you are, Leslie. So I click on her name. I haven't said anything at this point. I just click on her name.
As you're saying this about her on a public forum.
Yeah, I don't care now. This bitch, it's on. It's on. So I click on her name and I notice back in March, first week of quarantine, complaining about the music then in the middle of the day. Really? And that my husband had posted and said, hey, don't you think that everybody's kind of going through something right now? And maybe this isn't the time to complain about music. And her excuse then was, well, I suffer from allergy headaches. I just wish it could stop. So, bitch, 6 months ago, you were asking for our sympathy because you have allergy headaches. But now you're asking for it because you have a job and it's unprofessional. Why don't you just come on here and say, I don't like the fucking music. Stop. Stop. Stop with the excuses. So right, then that's when I was like,
don't like the music.
Yeah. So I go on there and I said something along the lines like, congratulations, you got a big girl job. And you're finally working at from home. You should do what the rest of us do. Like me, I said, thank goodness when I'm singing 90s pop songs in my backyard at the top of my lungs that my neighbors haven't complained. I said, but if they did and they came up to me, I'd respectfully turn it down rather than them. I said, but I've built that relationship with my neighbors on the left, right, across the street, down the street. Maybe you should try that, Leslie. Mm-hmm. And that's all I said. The next morning I wake up and I've got my name tagged and I've got this post about this long. And my comment was sarcastic, but it wasn't disrespectful. Well, maybe when I said, oh, I guess you got yourself a big girl job.
And that's how you started that shit out. Come on.
So
Sabrina.
Then she just fucking goes in and I'm an attorney and I don't play fucking games and I don't do this. And I was like, well, it doesn't look like it's working out for you so far. Right. So that I just do voice to text because I was pissed at that point. She had just woken me up and I just fucking went in. And then she says something like, responds immediately that I should come to her house, that I'm a keyboard warrior and I need to bring it down. I was like, now you're going to beat me up, Leslie? You're going to beat me up? And she was like, I don't fight. She was like, that shows your maturity level. I'm not going to fight you. I fight with my words.
And so I was like, well, you're a keyboard warrior.
Yeah. I was like, well, we grew up in two different fucking places. Cause if somebody says, meet me here, we're fighting.
Pretty much.
If you're telling me to come down to your house, Leslie, you better put on your tennis shoes. Cause I'm coming over and I'm beating your ass.
Well, you know, that's funny. And an attorney is telling you to come to your house. Right. Like, that's not really smart because if you guys got into a fight, she would be at fault for inviting your ass over there.
No, she's a dirty bitch. And what she would do is the moment she called me over there and we're arguing, she's going to call me for trespassing. I'm not dumb, Leslie. And I don't have time to come to your house because I don't actually care. Like, I find this humorous. Like, you have really wound yourself up over this man's music. It's just music, Leslie. It's okay.
It's not that bad. And music's that's the way I'm talking.
Yeah, that's the way I'm talking to her online. Like, ooh, girl, you are really wound up. And she was like, I get paid to argue. And that's when I was like, well, bitch, I do this for fun. So let's go.
Right? Because instead of arguing for the people that are paying you, you're now arguing with me.
Yeah, you're entertaining me at this point, Leslie. I'm waiting for my husband to come so we could go on the boat. My neighbor and I are laughing at you now. And I even said that. I was like, we're laughing at you.
Wow.
And then finally by that night, so we go out on the boat, we go to dinner with our neighbors. Because unlike Leslie, I'm friends with my neighbors. We go out to dinner. The neighbor next door says some shit to her. Nate said some shit to her. And then at nighttime, I'm like, hey, Leslie, we're done with you. And I was like, and what that means is you're being dismissed, sweetheart. I was like, quite honestly, I agree with you. The music is making you cuckoo. So wow. I was like, at this point, you win. It's making you insane, girl. You look crazy. Because you came on to complain about how you are inconvenienced. Because your job, you don't know what that man's going through. Maybe he's a fitness coach. Maybe he was doing a fitness online with people and music is playing. That's his home.
Right. You can't tell him what he can and can't do.
Yeah, it's 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, Leslie.
Leave the damn man alone.
Right. So then a neighbor across the street jumps on. Sabrina, I don't like your music either because I can't hear it. Turn it up. So now I'm getting all this support while Leslie's getting all this hate. It was pretty fun. And we finally, when I said, like, we're done with you, like, we're dismissing you now, sweetheart. And I did keep calling her sweetie because I know that people find that very offensive. it was a little bit fun. I'm not going to lie. It was a little bit fun. I was a tad bit bitchy. Yeah. But it was enjoyable.
It's so you, though.
It's not like me to engage in something like that, but it was fun. It was fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
Because it's just not that serious.
No, because it's just fucking music.
Right, and that's what I put on there. I was like, hey, you know, there has been times when my younger, cooler neighbors are out on a Friday night and I'm trying to go to sleep and their patio is near my bedroom window. And I listened to I watched TV to fall asleep and I could hear their music in my room and I could hear them talking. And Nate said, do you want me to text them? And I said, no, just turn off our TV. Right. They have neighbors over. I know that my neighbor works Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And sometimes later, if she's going to have her friends over on a Friday night, because she's worked a long fucking week,
it's her home.
Yeah. Right. It's not an everyday thing. All I did, I turned off my TV and had no problem sleeping.
There you go.
Like, you don't have to be a dick. And they're also entitled to enjoy their home.
Right.
And that's what I told Les. I was like, you sound like you need an old folks community. This is a family community where music is playing and kids are out and things are happening. And you're not an honest person. You're using every excuse of why this music. And your inconvenience is not against the law. Nope, just because your inconvenience does not mean. And then she said, she was like, I can tell you're one of those people that don't wear masks because you believe it's not against your unconstitutional rights. And I was like, you're making a lot of assumptions about me because I don't agree with you. I said, you came on here looking for everybody to agree with you. And the moment I didn't, I'm the bad guy. Fuck you, Leslie.
Right. Well, here's the really bad part. She's a fucking attorney and doesn't care about your constitutional rights.
Well, and that's why, you know, Erica made a good point. Like, I'm very professional of an attorney to come online and tell somebody to show up at their house. Like, that's
right.
That's very professional. That's more unprofessional than
having music in your Zoom meeting.
Exactly, right?
Like, what the heck? That's completely unprofessional, and it's all on a public forum.
Crazy. I mean, that's with 154 views, and you're Googleable. Like, Googleable.
Googleable?
Yeah, what the hell is Googleable? If you're able to type your name into Google and it shows where you work, you're Googleable. So we Googled you, Leslie, so we know where you work, and it's unprofessional. You are unprofessional.
You know what's really fucked up? She just caused her firm clients because nobody in that neighborhood will ever go to that firm because of her.
Well, no, because some fucking at-home blonde chick just fucking tore her apart online, so she's not very good at her job anyways.
Nope. You know, is she a private attorney or is she a public defender?
No, she's a private attorney, but for one of those ambulance chasing kind of things.
Oh, so she's a sleazy attorney.
Because she even said, she was like, I'm my own boss. And I was like, apparently not, because if you were your own boss, you'd say, hey, ladies and gentlemen on this call, we've got some, you know, as you know, we're all working from home. There's a pandemic and there's a little bit of outside noise.
Sorry,
I was on a sales call yesterday with a drill going on in my living room and even said, hey, one moment, I'm going to hit mute. There's some activity going. And guess what? I won the account. And the guy also said something like, it's understandable.
Yeah.
So happens. Leslie, you made a big deal out of nothing.
Pretty much. Freaking pain in the ass.
Yeah, fuck. She's Leslie. Fucking Leslie.
That's gonna be the new Karen.
It is. I think Lorelai called me Leslie the other day. She was like, "Okay, Leslie," and I was like, "Oh, all right."
I love it. Her sass is developing so well.
I know. So,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right. I got a question for you, Sabrina. How's your meditating going?
Fuck meditation, man.
I knew it.
Fuck meditation.
It kicked your ass.
Yeah, that shit's, it's boring.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I'm not a meditation kind of person.
I didn't think you would be. Look, I was like, I don't know if she's going to be able to do it because you are too much of a go, go, go. And I use chaos and not like a bad chaos, but you've always got shit going on. Right. You're not a.
No. And the way that I've used meditation or quiet time is more of I will find songs and slower songs or whatever it is. If I'm not feeling well, if I need me time and thinking time, but I need music playing and that will really help me center. And I'm able to sit with that, but just to sit in silence, then my mind totally starts to wander to the stupidest fucking things. It's not even beneficial, but if I can listen to music that puts me in the mood to cry or to feel, then I'm good.
Right. But that's the hard part of meditation. The part of meditation is to teach your mind how to control your thoughts.
Yeah. Bullshit. That's all bullshit.
No, it's not, but okay. For so, you, it is.
I can use music. I could do it at the gym and shopping. The other day, I was having a bad day. I was like, hey, I'm just going to go walk around Marshall's.
Right.
And just walking around, looking at things, touching things. It just helps me center. Sitting in the backyard with my feet twisted like a pretzel, humming my way out of it. Fuck that. I'll end up crazy like Leslie. I bet Leslie tried meditation. It didn't work for her either.
Yes, and this is why you two are arguing with each other. Because right. Y'all both fucking crazy and need to meditate.
Right. So... yeah, oh my gosh. But I did buy, and the reason Tabby asked me that is because I posted on Instagram, I just bought a pair of high heels because, you know, I have nowhere to go, but they are
or a closet to put them in.
No, I don't have a closet. My laptop is actually sitting on the box right now of shoes. They're beautiful high heels with these fucking spikes on them. I can't wait to wear them out somewhere. I told Nate he needs to take me out just to celebrate the shoes.
You know what you need? You need to get a mask with spikes on it just to match your shoes.
To match my shoes. That's very Lady Gaga, which would be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just, you know, the VMAs played last week. Did you know that?
No.
So the VMA, the Video Music Awards on MTV, which is a little ironic because I'm not even sure if people still make music videos, but Lady Gaga won a lot of awards, and she wore a lot of costumes that included these masks, that some of the costumes were actually pretty fucking cool. One of the masks had these horns coming out of it.
Oh,
where
yeah.
It just, she took something that is not a fashion statement and made it fashion and made it art, and it was super cool. So if anybody's into clothes and that kind of stuff, She changed outfits probably 5 times, and every one of them, it was beautiful with a mask on. It was just these beautiful outfits, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I took from it.
I didn't watch it. I didn't even know it was on these last few weeks, girl.
I learn there's a singer named Dojo Cat.
Okay.
That I'm trying to listen to pop radio now because Lorelai likes music. I feel like I'm playing too many oldies for her. So now in the car, we're listening to the pop stations, and one of them was named Dojo Cat. Well, she's not a real cat, in case anybody was wondering. She's not a cat. I found that out from the VMAs too. So that's my takeaway. Dojo Cat is not a cat. And you never know. Look at that fucking Baby Shark thing. That was just a cartoon.
Dojo Cat?
That's her name.
Is that like Hello Kitty? Even though that wasn't a cat, that was actually a little girl.
No, which I just found that out too.
Yeah.
You want to be mind blown too?
Sure, blow my mind.
Dinosaur fossils.
Uh-huh.
What are they finding? So in the New York Museum where they have the giant T-Rex, what is hanging from the wall? What is hanging? Dinosaur bones?
Supposed to be, or replicas of dinosaur bones.
So actual dinosaur fossils are not bones. Those skeletons we all see, mm-hmm. It's not bones.
What is it?
The bones deteriorate, and in its replacement comes another calcium type item that then mm-hmm. shapes in the same shape of the bone, but it's not the actual skeleton. And I learned that from Brilliant Idiots the other day, and I was fucking mind blown. I was like, are you kidding me? I assume that when they found it, it was the skeleton bones. But apparently, when it lays down and it decomposes,
right,
hundreds of years or however, I don't know how long it takes. I just discovered they weren't bones, people. So
Right?
But the bones dissolve and in its place becomes the fossil.
In the same form.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I always thought it was bones.
So when you dig up a dead body, that's not bones?
I asked the same thing. That's what I asked. I asked Nate because now I listen to this while he's gone and I'm fucking mind blown. I'm like, who am I going to tell? This is amazing. They're not bones? Am I the only person that didn't know that?
No, because we were taught that shit was bones. The word they used were bones. Okay?
Yeah, they're not. They're fossils, which is... So I asked Nate the same thing. I said, you know, when they dig up a body, there's skeletons. And he was like, yeah, but dinosaurs are 2 million years old. What we're still talking about are bones that are 10 years old, 60 years old, 100 years old.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I said, I don't know how long it takes, because that's what I was asking too. So if 2 million years from now, if we pull out one of those dead bodies in a casket, will there be skeletons or will it be a fossil?
So if you find, well, what about Neanderthals? They're the human form of dinosaurs, Neanderthals.
Oh, like, cavemen.
Yes. Yeah. So they would have these whatever non-bone looking bone things.
Let me see. How long does it take a bone to become a fossil? I will say, by the way, Nate did not realize that it wasn't an actual skeleton until he got home and he looked it up. It takes a minimum to make a fossil of 10,000 years.
Wow.
So this is what Ethan and I were saying. I call bullshit. How do they know that?
How they know what?
How do they know that it takes 10,000 years?
So there's something called, I think maybe from carbon dating.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of science behind it. I'm not really knowledgeable about it, but they've got some science, girl.
All right. Well, that's your daily dose of Science Corner with Sabrina. I hope you guys learned something, courtesy of the Brilliant Idiots. Joe Rogan was making fun of Charlamagne and Andrew for not realizing that dinosaur bones and fossils aren't the same thing. And I don't think Joe Rogan understands that maybe the rest of the world doesn't know that.
Right, because most of us have other things to do with our lives.
Or didn't pay attention during science class.
Right. And Joe Rogan needs to, like, just calm the fuck down. Don't be a Leslie, Joe Rogan, okay?
Right,
just calm down.
Right.
Jeez. Well, since we're talking about science, I'm going to go ahead and skip ahead, and we're going to talk about our badass bitch in history.
Nice. All right.
All right, guys. It's kind of irrelevant.
I don't even know who it is.
I know. I kept it a secret from you.
All right.
All right, guys. So we're going to talk about Ada Lovelace. Do you know who she is?
No.
You've heard of her. I know you've heard of her. So Ada Lovelace is often regarded as the first to recognize the full potential of computers and one of the first computer programmers.
Oh, wow.
So in an industry that is dominated by men, the woman fucking created the industry. She created a computer program before there was even a fucking computer.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, so, I've never heard of her.
All right, so we're going to talk about her life, okay? So she was born to Lord Byron and Lady Byron in, it was December 10th, 1815. And her father was expected her, this child to be a glorious boy. Mm-hmm. And when it wasn't, he was disappointed. And then he left 5 weeks after she was born and had a, divorced the mother.
Okay.
Now, Lord Byron was a famous poet. He was... had marital affairs, had other children. Ada was the only legitimate child of his.
Okay.
Okay. So 5 weeks after Ada was born, he basically told his wife, get you and the kid out. It's done. It's over with, right? And then, although English law at the time granted full custody of children to the father in cases of separation, Lord Byron made no attempt to claim his parental rights. So he didn't want his kid. He gave it up. But he did ask that his sister, or his half-sister, Augusta Lee, keep him informed of Ada's well-being.
Okay.
So after the separation, he left England for good. Okay? And let's see. So aside from the acrimonious separation, because having a husband that has external affairs and then also leaves you is really bad for societal status, especially at those times. So mm-hmm. Lady Byron continued throughout her life to make allegations about her husband's immoral behavior. And so this set of events made Lovelace infamous in Victorian history and society. So they were known to have a lot of taboo and a lot of people didn't want to be associated with them.
Okay. So she was English?
Yes, English. Okay. So this is all in England.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So Ada did not have a relationship with her father, and he died in 1824 when she was 8 years old. So he just left, had nothing to do with her, poof, disappeared, and then he died. And then her mother was the only significant parental parent. And then the other thing that I thought was really weird, her mother did not show her a picture of her father until she was 20 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was kind of crazy. It's like, whoa, all right.
Yeah.
So, but her mother wasn't all that great either. She was not this lovey woman who was all like, oh, I love my daughter. No, no. She was a little annoyed with her, kind of reminded her of her ex-husband. Kind of was like, no. Yeah.
Okay.
So she sent Ada off to go live with her maternal grandmother. And then because of societal attitudes at the time, of course, which again favored the husbands, that Lady Byron had to present anxious letters to the grandmother about her daughter's welfare with a covering note to say to retain these letters in trials, right? To show mm-hmm. that she was a concerned mother. But in one letter, she referred to her daughter as it. And this is what she said. I talked to Aww. It for your satisfaction, not my own, and shall be very glad when you have it under your own. So mother was not very close, though.
No.
And then Lady Byron had her teenage daughter watched closely for any signs of immoral behavior because her mother spent the rest of her life trying to make sure her daughter did not turn out like her father. He had right. immoral behavior, so she's half of him. So she's like, she's going to be like him and wanted to prevent that.
Yeah, she was almost expecting.
Right. So, when Ada was a child, she was often ill. And at the age of 8, she experienced headaches and obscured vision. In 1829, she was paralyzed from measles and subjected to bed rest for nearly a year. And then by 1831, 2 years later, she was finally able to walk with crutches. So she was bedridden for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty crazy to I mean, yeah. Most of the times in those days, you don't survive something like that, right?
No, not at all. What was it
you said? You get a paper cut and you're fucked?
Yeah, or, you know, in her case, a bed sore, right? It becomes infected and she loses a fucking leg. Right.
So she, despite her illnesses, she developed mathematical and technological skills. So Ada had a passion for math and science. When she was 12, she decided that she wanted to fly. So she started studying the anatomy of birds to understand the size of the body to the wing size. She constructed experiments with different materials. She was going to write a book called Flyology. What 12-year-old have you ever met that learns wants to fly and is like, I'm going to write a book about it? That's pretty.
Especially, you know, it wasn't a requirement of women back then to even amount to anything, right? Except for a wife and a mother.
Right.
So just think about the ambition she had of, and the desire, the true burning desire to learn.
And mind you, she was well educated, right? So her mother had, she was privately educated. Her mother was, you know, like, look, we're going to learn this. You're going to be educated. You're not just going to be a crazy woman.
Oh, good.
Which okay. I'll get into that in a little bit more. But Ada had an affair with her tutor in 1833, and she tried to elope with them, but she got caught. So the tutor's relatives recognized her and contacted her mother. So her mother and their friends covered up this scandal. So they ended up covering up the scandal.
How old was she by then? So that was in
1833. She was born.
She was born
18,
in
15.
So right at 18.
Right, 18. So she was just like, hey. Mm-hmm. All right. And then let's see. Oh, okay. Here we go. And her half-sister, so she had a, Lovelace did have some contact with Elizabeth Medorley, the daughter Bryant's half-sister, right? That I talked about earlier. But she always avoided Ada when they were introduced at court. They were like, I want nothing to do with you. Even though my mother is your father's half-sister, we're like, you stay over there.
Okay,
you
are, so they didn't have a relationship. No,
they were like, you're bad news. You know, you're a scandal.
Aw.
Well, remember, the father was immoral. The father had multiple affairs. Right. They left. The father didn't try to keep his child. She had scandals. So it was kind of bad. So in her adult years, Ada became close friends with one of her tutors, and her name was Mary Somerville, who introduced her to Charles Babbage in 1833. So Charles Babbage ends up changing her life. Not for how you're going to think. At this point, Ada was introduced into court. You know, the big balls and all that kind of stuff. And she was considered, became popular belle of the season, in part because of her brilliant mind. So she could dazzle these men with her good looks and dance, and she was an educated woman, and they were very intrigued by it.
So she was very much like me.
You.
Just kidding. Oh, okay. Well, that's really impressive, though. So, you know, she's living that high society life, but also an educated woman.
Right. Up to a man's level. Not just a high society woman who just was born there and just laid there, right? So right. I really like that. So he gets...
Me too. I like
in
that.
In 1835, she married William 8th Byron King, becoming Lady King. Bitch had three homes. Like, so now she's like, woo, she's got money, money.
Yeah, she's living in that money.
Oh, yeah. So they ended up having three children, Byron in 1836, Anne Isabella, and then Ralph Gordon. Now get this. This woman has had no relation with her father, no conversation, no memories, no nothing, right, with her father. She names her two sons after him.
Of course.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So after she had Annabella, she experienced a tedious and suffering illness, which took months to cure. This woman was always sick. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then in 1838, her husband was made Earl of Lovelace. And then meaning Ada became the Countess of Lovelace. I don't really understand how that shit works, right? But all right. I know is now she's a countess. I guess instead of all a lady, right. Now I don't know what the titles mean, right?
Yeah, it gets a little hairy.
Yeah, it does. So I'm like, okay. But basically, she's semi-royalty at this point. So yeah. In 1843 to 44, Ada's mother, the so wonderful woman that she is, assigned William Carpenter to teach Ada's children and to act as a moral instructor for Ada. So this bitch has hired someone to brainwash her children to influence her daughter. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
To brainwash?
Well, so like, she hired this man to teach her grandchildren to be moral and proper children, to be an example for their mother. Because their grandmother didn't think their mother was moral.
Even still.
But here's the fucking kicker. Carpenter was trying to have an affair with Ada. He fell in love with her, even though he was married.
Did she do it? No,
she cut it off. She was like, fuck that. So, you gotta love my comments.
I love that. I could just imagine her in that big fucking dress and the hoop skirt and going, just like you did with your arms. You guys would have to watch a video going, fuck that.
No.
Throwing the deuces up. Fuck that.
It'd totally be true. Okay. So, here's some fucking kicking shit, right? In 1841, Ada and Medora Lee, again, who was the daughter of Ada's father's half-sister, Augusta Lee, were told by Ada's mother that Ada's father was also Medora's father. So Ada's father fucked his half-sister and had an illegitimate child.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and yet the child wants nothing to do with Ada.
Yeah, I mean, like, bitch, you should have come out a little loopy, according to your genealogy. I'm the good child, right? Here.
So Ada writes to her mother and says, "I am not in the least astonished. In fact, you merely confirm what I have for years and years felt scarcely a doubt about, but should have considered it most improper in me to hint to you that I in any way suspect it." Now, this is some crazy shit. Ada didn't blame the incestuous relationship on her father. She blamed Augusta Lee. She blamed the half-sister. Right? So.
Yeah, why? Did it say why?
Well, she wrote, "I fear she is more inherently wicked than he ever was." That's what she said. But I guess she has this love affair with her father. Like, or you know what I mean? Because she named her two children after him. She now denies his affair and say it wasn't his fault with his half-sister. She doesn't recognize all the affairs he had with his mother, right? And then she also, in the end, requests to be buried next to him when she dies. I mean, that motherfucker left when you were 5 weeks old.
Yeah, talk about longing for approval, right? That's what that rejection did to her. She was always working for her father's
right, no matter...
And forgive out anything he's ever right. done. Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy. So, but now in the 1840s, Ada started flirting with some scandals. The first was she had a very relaxed approach to extramarital relationship with men. Well.
All right, girl.
So not what you're thinking, right?
Oh, darn.
Like, she is in the science and the math world, right? So there's a lot of men. She had a lot of men tutors. So she's very accustomed to having male friends. But in that time when you're married, you're not supposed to have male friends because your husband is the only male that's supposed to be around. Right?
Right.
So it led to a lot of rumors about affairs. Now, they don't clarify whether there was or wasn't, but I don't think it doesn't, you know what I mean? They would know.
Right.
And then second was from her love of gambling. Now, I'm sure this stems from her love of math because it's all numbers.
Oh, yeah. Good point, right? That's a great point.
Yeah. So she loved gambling. And at one point, she lost more than 3,000 pounds on the horses. But her gambling led to her forming a syndicate with male friends and an ambitious attempt in 1851 to create a mathematical model for successful large bets. So she wanted to rig the system. She wanted to make it basically impossible to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It didn't work. No, it didn't work. It went very, very wrong, leaving her thousands of pounds in debt. And then she kind of had to tell her husband, went, "Hey, honey, whoops, I kind of lost a lot of money."
Yeah. Yeah. Not good.
So now I'm going to move a little bit into her education, right? So her mother's obsession with her education was with rooting out any of the insanity which she accused Byron was one of the reasons Ada was taught mathematics from an early age. So, like I was saying, her mom did not want her to study poetry or literature or any feminine education. It was very logical education. She was very afraid that her daughter would become insane or have a madness because to her mother, the cheating and the poetry was all madness. It was a defect in the brain. So let's see. So she also had one of her tutors was the mathematician and logistic. I can't say the fucking word.
Logistics.
And it's a person. It's what the person does that's a logistics.
Logistian.
Logician.
I have no fucking clue. I've never met a logistian in
my life.
Neither
have I. But there was one named Augusta De Morgan. And when she was 17, he had basically told her mother that her daughter's skill in mathematics could lead her to become the original mathematical investigator, perhaps of first-rate eminence. So basically, her tutors were like, this bitch is smart. Like, she understands it and gets it, right?
Right.
So here comes the really, really amazing part. So in 1844, she has mentioned to a friend that she wants to create a mathematical model of how the brain gives a rise to thoughts and nerves to feeling. Basically, a calculus of the nervous system. So that's like some huge shit for 1844, right? We barely know about understand our own nervous system biologically, right? And now she's really into making code, basically, to figure this shit out. Like, she wants to make a code to beat the gambling. Now she wants to make a code. Be like, why does my brain do what it does? And then, of course, it says, her interest in the brain comes from a long-running preoccupation inherited from her mother about her potential madness. So now she's obsessed with, why does my brain do?
Understanding her own brain. Yeah.
So,
which I will, I don't want to interrupt you, but I think that a lot of scientists do that, right? Like when they talk about mad scientists is the numbers and the, like her brain, it is constantly fucking running where it kind of drives them mad, right?
Absolutely.
Because they can't get that there is this need for questions and answers all the time. Right,
and when they can't get that answer, it drives them mad.
Yeah. Crazy, yeah. That mad scientist right there. Cool.
She's a mad mathematician.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Oh, she meets Charles Babbage in 1833 through her tutor, Mary Somerville. And then Babbage is so impressed with Lovelace's intellect and analytical skills. He calls her the
Welcome to my life.
I can't get the word out of my mouth. Enchantress.
Enchantress.
Of numbers. Go. Sorry, guys. I've been doing a lot of talking in the last 12 hours.
No, you're doing a great job. The words that I couldn't pronounce last week, I just went with it.
Okay, good. So he created a prototype for his difference engine, which was basically like a computer. Okay. Very, very simple form of a computer. Okay.
Right.
So in 1842 to 1843, Ada translated the Italian mathematician Luigi Membre's article on Babbage's proposed machine called the analytical engine. Okay, so this is his prototype. Someone wrote a paper on it, and she's translating the paper on his machine, on Babbage's machine, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what ends up happening is that she ends up writing notes that end up becoming three times longer than the actual article itself. Okay? And what happens is, in complete detail, a method for calculating a sequence of Bernoulli numbers, which I looked at the definition of what that is. Bernoulli numbers are a sequence of rational numbers which occur frequently in number theory. Basically, I don't know what the fuck that means.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was like, I have no.
But it sounds like some really smart shit,
right? Okay, right.
Because I'm like, I'm like, maybe you put some Pythagorean theory out there, and I know I said that wrong. I might be able to get you Fibonacci. Okay, I can keep up with that a little bit, but I'm like, I don't know what this one is.
Yeah.
So, numbers using the analytical engine, which might have ran correctly if it had ever been built. So her computer program could never have been tested because the machine had never been built. And it wasn't built until 2002.
I was going to ask, so did they end up building
only
it?
Babbage's difference engine had been built, completed in London in 2002. And then based on this work, Ada is now widely considered to be the first computer programmer, and her method is recognized as the world's first computer program. Wow. So it's really freaking insane.
Well, it's even more insane that she was creating programs when there wasn't even a machine to process those programs. Like, she was just beyond her time.
Oh, she's even further beyond her time when I tell you this next part. In her notes, Ada...
Did she have a cell phone?
Right, maybe.
No kidding.
We could have just Skyped her.
Fucking Bill Gates stole it all pretty from her. Pretty much. No, he's not the guy from Apple. Whoever. Yeah, all right, go.
So, in her notes, Ada dismisses artificial intelligence. She basically says the analytical engine has no pretensions what to originate anything. It can do whatever we know how to order it to perform. It can follow analysts, but it has no power of anticipating any analytical relations or truth. Which is huge, because in today we're arguing about artificial intelligence. AI, mm-hmm. these robots, and that can do all of these sort of things. And people are claiming that it can have emotions and be companions, and they can form their own emotions, right? And she's saying, no, it's only based off of a program, what you're telling it to do, that it can react.
Like, you can program feelings in. You can program reactions, which then the person who is seeing it is perceiving it as, oh, well, they have feelings. No, the machine is told it to have feelings. Right.
So.
Yeah, I get that. Right. Okay.
The only danger with that, like, I don't know if you ever saw Westworld. Mm-hmm. It was on Netflix, and basically it was a theme park. It was a Western theme park, and you went in, and there were robots that looked like humans, very, very much looked like humans, and basically they ended up taking over, right? And they never explained how, but they basically developed subconscious and could remember what was happening to them, because they weren't supposed to be able to remember the things that were happening to them. But if you have a glitch in your code, now they have all this information, and they could take over because there's a fuck up in the code.
Right.
So, and they have access to...
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Right. If you give them all the information, and now you've lost the control, now you have these robots that can make decisions based off of all the knowledge you've given them, because they now have their own human brain, essentially, right? Because they understand everything. They have logic, they can make decisions, they have the empathy and the feelings and everything, and they understand us.
Right. Yeah, that's scary.
It is scary. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's see. But yeah, that was pretty much it about her. I mean, that's freaking badass.
That is, for me, it's more badass and sticks out more just because she was just beyond her time. It's different when you have a computer and then you realize that you can create a program and have the computer do something. But this is even beyond having a platform to run these type of programs and analytics and everything else that was in her mind.
Yeah. I know.
That she could, to forward that amount of forward thinking before the technology was there is amazing. It's also amazing that 200 years later, somebody ran the program and it worked.
Right. And it worked.
That's fucking insane.
It is. And I mean, let's be real. She's just a genius. She was just a genius. Yeah. And she was just born in the wrong time.
For sure.
And,
yeah,
and she didn't live a very long life. She only lived to 36.
Are you kidding me? That's insane.
Yeah, she only lived to... She died at the age of 36 from uterine cancer, probably expirated by bloodletting by her physicians. So bloodletting is a process that they believed in if you were sick, that they could draw the sickness out by sucking blood out of your skin with either a leech or having an open cut and letting blood out. Yeah, that was modern science for the day.
Right. So she was...
And then get this. So her illness lasted several months, in which time her daughter took command over who Ada saw and excluded all her friends and confidants. So, Ada's mother said Ada had a religious transformation and was coaxed into repenting all of her previous conduct and making Annabella her executor, which was Ada's daughter. She lost contact with her husband after confessing something to him on August 30th, which caused him to abandon her bedside. She was buried at her request next to her father at the Church of St. Mary Magdalene in Hucknall, Nottingham. That's just some craziness. So basically, when she was dying, She couldn't talk to her tutors or Charles Babbage or anybody that was a close friend of hers because her mother and granddaughter basically said, you're nuts and we're taking over.
It's insane to me the way that people diagnose mental health, right? It's because she's a genius, she's crazy. Because you're an emotional person, you're mm-hmm. crazy. Because you're artistic, you're crazy.
Because you have a uterus, you're crazy. That's what happened.
Yeah, and then they were confining people and drugging people and doing to work the crazy out of you because you weren't what you were just supposed to be, a woman or a man, whatever it might be. Like those artistic and genius people, they literally were just called crazy.
Yeah, they were. Like there used to be a thing called female hysteria, and that's why women had to focus so hard on being subdued and calm and not having a real reaction, because having a reaction got you labeled as crazy and you were put in an insane asylum.
Right, right. That's what my son said the other day. Like, Mama, don't you think all women are crazy? And I was like, I think that we process emotions differently. Right.
I think...
We process emotions. We feel emotions because we're different. I don't think it makes... I don't think it's crazy. I think it's crazy to you because you're a man and you handle your emotions differently.
Right. But if he gets angry about something, does he not raise his voice? Does he not puff out his chest? Does he not
Well, that's what I said. I was like, men react with anger, where women react with tears and emotions and feelings, and it's the same thing. I said, it's just these hormones in our bodies that are different.
You know, I had Dion and I had a thing one time. We were all out. Dinner went wrong. We didn't have any food. Everything was just a shit show. And I was losing my patience. I was getting pissed off. And it was becoming very verbal about it. And he's like, you need to calm down. You're making everybody on eggshell. I said, the fuck I'm going to calm down? When you get angry, nobody tells you to fucking calm down. No.
Right. I'm like,
I'm like, I understand I need to calm down. I'm telling me to calm down when I'm fucking mad. It doesn't really work. The same way when I tell you to calm down when you're mad, it doesn't work either.
Right, yeah. I couldn't even imagine.
I was like, okay. I was like, I do need to calm down a little bit because it's just me being hungry. And I understand, you know. But I was like, don't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that was great, Tabby. Yeah, so say her full name again.
It is Ada Lovelace.
Lovelace. Nice. I like it. Never heard of her before.
Yep. She's a badass woman. And I love that it was all science and math.
Right. Yeah, me too. Speaking of badass women, the opposite of a badass woman, what was fucking Pelosi up to?
That little fucking cunt. Okay?
What did she do? I saw some memes about it, but I haven't actually. Okay. Because I want to hear, what did she do?
So as you...
I saw memes about a hairdresser.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if you know this, but in California... all salons are still on shutdown.
Oh, man.
So you can't go get your hair done in California. So Nancy, who's a Democrat in charge of California, House of the Speaker, and happens to be San Francisco is also her area where this happened, went and had a salon open up, and she had her hair done. Not very well.
How did that go over?
Because everybody's going, wait a minute. You're shoving this pandemic down our throats. You are ruining lives. You're causing financial distress. And your ass went to go get your fucking hair done when it was not allowed to.
Yeah.
And when this happened, she basically said, well, I was relying on the salon owner to know what was right and wrong. And they owe me an apology for setting me up. Fuck that, you bitch. You're the fucking lawmaker. You should know what your fucking laws are, and you should be following them.
Right. I mean, your state has a ban on
that,
the salons.
That, no.
You reached
right,
out
that,
to
but
that
mind
salon
you, she's the one that put the bans on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you have, you're involved in the laws of this state. There's a current law in place restricting salons. You reached out to the hair salon to set an appointment, not vice versa. And then go in. It's a slap in the face to every single other salon owner. It's a slap in the face to anybody walking around with fucking roots after 7 months.
Grays.
That.
Grays.
Be a good. Yeah, you should have done it in your house. Should have done it in your house. Like,
well,
everybody
I read an
else
article
has
her
to
normal
do it.
Guy who could have done it in a house wasn't available. Oh, man.
Doesn't that suck for her? What she should have done is they should release the band and then photographed herself getting her hair done and celebrating the opening of the salons, not going when they're banned.
It really
is.
That's
a slap in the face.
But see, she doesn't give a shit. They have this mentality
right.
of, you do what I say, not as I do, and I'm just going to do whatever I want because none of this actually affects me.
Right.
And get this, bitch didn't have her mask on either. Yeah.
Of course not.
So, you know, I'm so tired of the hypocrisy. And I don't know if you saw this, mm-hmm. but the South Dakota governor sent a message to the salon owner and said, look, that really fucking sucks what she did to you. It's hard enough to be a business owner, a woman, you know, she's a female, right? A female business owner to have all this crap. You come to South Dakota and we're going to hook you up. We're going to take care of you. So South Dakota's like,
right.
come on over. You know, we're going to hook your business up.
Yeah.
Instead of being punished
right, right.
like you are over there.
Yeah, yeah. That's insane. I didn't realize the hair salons
right.
were still
They're
closed out there.
They're literally supposed to. So this salon, now this salon had been operating illegally for the last couple of months in secret.
Can't blame them.
Right,
they
exactly.
have to make money.
So, yeah. And you know, the funny part is all of these salon owners aren't making legal or technically not supposed to be making any money in the state of California. And yet, Pelosi won't sign the bill for another stimulus check.
Yeah,
so,
of course not. Those fuckers took vacation before
right,
they wrote
and that's
those
the other
checks.
Thing. Why are those fuckers taking vacation? They should be taking... Yeah.
In the middle of all this, right. Yeah, they should have emergency hearings and
Time
everything else until they solve it all.
To vote those fuckers out of office, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so since we're talking about Cali, let's
okay.
just jump to this article then. So, and it'll just be a quick discussion. So I saw, and I sent you this the other day, and I didn't include it last night, that California has formed a reparation task force that will review and determine if Black Americans in California should receive
okay.
reparations for slavery.
Yep, I saw that.
Not mad at the task force thing. That's fine. I don't know how I feel about reparations and all of that, because I do believe generational wealth is where you get wealth from. And if they were denied that, you're always starting behind. And if they're asking just to be, I don't know how I feel about it. Either it, and free money for people is never helpful. So I just,
free money is not
like
free.
I said,
let's be real.
I'm not
free
mad.
Money's not free. Somebody's got to pay for it somewhere.
Yeah, and it a lot of times, it just doesn't. People don't invest
yep.
it in the way they should. But that being said, not mad at the task force. What I am mad at is when I Google, because in my mind, when I read that, I asked Nate and said, "Well, California wasn't around with the Civil War, and the blacks were freed." After that in the U.S. And I said, so what are we going to pay them for? So I said, when was California a state?
Mm-hmm.
So he looks it up. And
okay.
Here, I just pulled it up. It was September 9th,
okay.
1850. And it says that when California joined the Union, it joined the Union as a free state from slavery. So... If they had slaves prior to that, not the United States issue. Weren't. You join the Union and you have said that the slaves were free, then you started on, and I'm just going based on contracts, right? If we're looking at contracts, you got to read the dates of how things line up. So just factually, that doesn't make sense to me. Unless California is going to pay from any money that they had prior to the date that they, 1850. Because any money that the state has collected from then, that was a free state. Where are you taking that money from? You want this, the state or federal assistance or however you're going to get this money to pay for something you did prior to you becoming a state? Is that the United States responsibility? You know how I feel about the Indians. I don't take the blame for it. I blame the Queen. Now, the Indians in Montana, I think we fucked those people. We were all Americans, and I feel bad for them. Now that I'm watching Yellowstone, I feel really bad for them. But the Indians on the Virginia coast, I blame the Queen and King for that. If California came in as a
free state, means every black person who came from California, their family line started initially as free. So, and here's the other thing. Let's be really honest. All this money, do you want to know where this money is going to come from? It's going to come from their taxes, which means they're going to increase the taxes on the middle and poor people of California to pay the money back to the exact same people they're going to give it to.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. I understand maybe if it was the East Coast and they were doing it, because then I don't know. It just the dates don't line up for me. And I told Nate, I was like, these silly people, they're going to create this task force and everybody's like, "Yeah, we're getting money, we're getting money." And then at the end of the day, they're going to be like, "Ah, technically we've gone back, we checked Wikipedia. California was not a state, and it was a free state." The task force has determined you get nothing.
And it was a great article and a great conversation.
And I was.
And you know.
Right, exactly. And then
my other thing is, you know, because part of this article was saying that if the African Americans had gotten what they were supposed to have gotten when they were freed, like 40 acres, that all of them would be wealthy by this point. To which my response is, that's not the case, because you don't know what the generations would have done with that money. And my perfect example is Dion's family used to own, have the contract to Heinz tomatoes because they used to grow the tomatoes for Heinz ketchup. Trust me when I tell you, we do not have that generational wealth. There was a lot of fuck ups. There was a lot of fuck-ups in the generations and the decisions that were made, and the money's gone. So just because my great-great-great-great-grandfather or his great-great-grandfather was a fucking millionaire doesn't mean the grandchildren in between didn't fuck it up.
Right, yeah. You're right, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Interested in the findings of the task force. I think it's done for the look of, like you said, it's a good article, it's a good discussion, and then they are going to say, actually, we checked the history books and
this is
free.
This is
when you became. I don't know how it works, you know, from September 8th, 1850 prior. Can you prorate it? I don't know.
I don't know if California ever had slaves.
So that's why I was like, wow, I didn't realize California had slaves. And by the way, by the time we traveled west, the Civil War had already happened. So America was a free country at that point. Are we responsible? And that's what made us look it up. So there were slaves in California. Now, I don't know if they were black slaves, Chinese, Mexican slaves, Indian slaves, Chinese, right? So somewhere, Mongolian, those people.
Let me tell you what, if anybody owns any reparations from California, it's the Chinese, because I don't know if you remember with the gold mines and the there were towns where they went in and there were gold mines, and these rich guys brought in Chinese slaves basically in by the thousands and worked these motherfuckers for pennies. Because they use them for the gold mines and to clear the railroads. But we don't talk about that.
Okay. Were they paid?
Don't know 100%. Yeah. They were paid pennies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I know that there were slaves because they addressed it when they became part of the United States. Because it specifically said they were joining the union as a free slavery state. So they understood that we had already had this war, that we already were living this life, and if you were going to be a state, you had to follow that as well. So again, I can't take responsibility for that as an American. If you signed because it saying it was going to be
your territory was fine with it.
Yeah, and that's your history, not mine.
Right.
Just because we live on this land, we can't get blamed for everything that happened prior to we were in control of that land.
Right. That's just crazy. That's like saying, Sabrina, you're responsible for slaves because you lived here. That was 100 fucking years ago.
Right, right. So, again, we'll see how it goes. I don't think we'll ever hear about it again. The other crazy thing that California has done is Scott Peterson. Are you aware of, you know who Scott Peterson and Lacey Peterson is?
So when you sent me the article, I didn't, and then I read up on it, and then I was like, holy shit.
So Lacey Peterson was a big, big deal when her disappearance happened, because it was right before Christmas. She was this white woman, middle class, and pregnant with her first son. And she goes missing Christmas Eve, December 23rd, something like that.
Right.
And it was national news. I remember when she went missing, and I remember the awkward, like, actually in the movie Gone Girl, you know when, have you seen that movie Gone Girl?
Once, and I don't remember it entirely.
Well, there's a moment when Ben Affleck is on stage and he's talking about his missing wife, but he smiles. Well, Scott Peterson was kind of the same. When people were talking to him or interviewing him, they just didn't think that he looked like a grieving husband. Which, by the way, now they have determined you can't choose somebody's guilt based on the way they react, right? Because not everybody reacts the same way. A murderer does not act. So for them to say, well, his initial reaction wasn't right, well, maybe he's socially awkward. Right? Maybe you can't help but have this weird smile on your face, because that's your weird smile. Yeah, right? Like
I've done it, like, in a bad situation, awkward, I'm like, oh, I'm laughing. I'm like,
but I don't mean,
I don't mean to laugh.
Right. And then it comes out that he's having an affair, and his mistress is on the news. And so that makes it all so much more sensationable. And then from that point on, everybody knew, or just assumed, he was guilty no matter what. He what he was found guilty of was getting into an argument, beating and killing his wife, who was pregnant with his child, taking her body out into the bay, dumping her, cutting the baby out of the stomach, and her body and the baby's fetus washed up, I don't know, a few weeks later sometime, and he was arrested, found guilty, and sentenced to death.
That is some sick fucking shit. Like, okay, I get killing your wife and dumping her body, but why in the fuck did you cut the fetus out?
Yeah, they said that he cut the baby out. So the California Supreme Court, in a recent decision to overturn the death penalty sentence for Scott Peterson, and it says that the family is just devastated by this fact. So they have not overturned the murder the guilty murder charge for Lacey, and I believe the baby's name was Connor. It was supposed to be Connor.
Yeah.
he's still found guilty of that, but what he wants is to be released back into general population, and he'll spend the rest of his life in prison. I've spent most of my life thinking this man did it, but recently, in the last year, there is a documentary or series on A&E, I think, that looks mm-hmm. into this thing, this murder, and I think we all might have dropped the gun. I don't know if the police department there looked at anybody else besides him. Do you know that there was the house across the street was robbed that same day? And Lacey was a stay-at-home mom, and she was home. What if she noticed and saw the robbers, and right. they beat and killed her?
Right. But there was...
They never questioned. They never went any further into who those two people were. You had two criminals on that street, and the police never questioned it. There had also right. been other women missing because of some type of like weird religious cult in the area. That was never mentioned. So then when they mentioned, I was like, huh, if anything, that's reasonable doubt, because right. they never told the rest of the world any of that. The jury never heard about that stuff. I never heard about that stuff.
No. And, you know, maybe they didn't bring it up for a reason because they didn't want the reasonable doubt. Because right. maybe there was enough evidence to actually convict him without the reasonable doubt. And he was actually the killer and they wanted him to serve for it. Right.
Right.
Because otherwise he'd be walking around free.
Right. Or the police, and we've seen it a lot in these overturned and, you know, guilty murders where the police look at the husband right away, right? You know, it has to be the husband. It has to be the husband. Maybe he is an innocent man sitting maybe. On death row.
Well, not death row anymore.
Yeah, not as of last week. So it's weird when you spend your whole life thinking, yeah, that man did it. I knew everything about the case, the boat that he bought, this fishing trip, the concrete. Now, he made these concrete cylinders, which her body was held down with. That sounds yeah. a little fishy to me there, Scott.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, there was so much evidence, like you said, that the cops were like, we're not even going to look over there. But the truth is, his defense attorney has an obligation to
do that as well.
Right. And so maybe he didn't receive sufficient counsel.
And that's on him because he provided it. I mean.
Yeah. And so, and they might, I wonder, I don't know. They are trying to overturn his entire guilty charge based on.
What?
Yeah. Based on insufficient counsel. If there were other people that could be guilty of it, his defense attorney had the obligation to use that to defend him, and if they didn't, he might be able to do it.
That's crazy. See, no,
yeah,
no, because now he's gonna walk. Because he could have honestly been the murderer,
mm-hmm.
killed him, turned around, get his verdict overturned because of counsel error, right? And then he still, but then they find evidence later. Oh, yeah, he really did do it. But now he's out back on the fucking streets.
Right, because.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah, what is it called? Double jeopardy? You can't yeah. charge him twice? Yeah.
Right. And so, no, unfortunately, too bad. You should have hired better defense attorney.
Right.
You know
See,
what?
The problem with that, though, and where I agree with the insufficient counsel is there's another case here near Maryland, and I can't remember the kid's name. He was like a young Pakistani or Middle Eastern kid that got charged with his ex-girlfriend's murder in high school, and there's a huge podcast about it. Anon is his name. Anon something.
Okay.
His original attorney was going through a sickness that she didn't tell anybody about. She was a big time defense attorney. She was going through this illness that was requiring her to take a lot of medicine. she was having problems thinking and processing things. That didn't come out until after his court case. And so it is his current attorney's opinion, and also mine, that he hired somebody who was supposed to be at her game 100%. And being a young man, or even just a regular, a 40-year-old woman, I'm hiring you as the professional. You should know what to do, not me. When you right. tell me that we're not going to present the robbers across the street because we need to focus on why I made these concrete, then I'm going to listen to you. But now that I'm older, I'm like, hey, but that was reasonable doubt. Who cares why I made the concrete blocks? That was so, you know, you're listening to these people as professionals. That lady, that attorney in Maryland, they now almost have, they have an obligation to go back and look at all of the cases that she was a part of. Yeah, which, like you said, that allows fucking guilty people out.
Right, and that also sets a precedent, right? So, like, now you can have a guilty person hire a defense attorney. They can pay them more money under the table, right? And say, fuck my case up. And then they are only serving a year or two, and then claims blah, 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 blah. Then that defense attorney case gets overturned, and then they get out. And it right. was all a whole fucking setup from the beginning.
Right.
I don't think it's too dangerous. It's a slippery slope.
It is. Yeah. And I think that's the good thing about, and this is what I think would keep an attorney from doing it, is that attorneys are supposed to walk a very straight line. And mm-hmm. it costs them their career, not humiliation. They can be disbarred for any, all of that. This lady was disbarred. The other attorney can be disbarred. And I do think we have to keep them in line of, look, mm-hmm. if you're sick and it affects your mind, you have to, fuck your ego. You right. have our lives at stake. And the way that our country is set in this judicial system, I get one fucking shot, lady. You better be on your best game. And if you're right. not, you have an obligation to step down.
Yep.
And I think, so I like that they've kind of gone back and audited some of these cases, because I do think there's a lot of innocent people in jail. The problem is there's also a lot of guilty people in jail. And so
right.
this allows that room for those guilty people. When a judge fucks up and now you start taking money, it erases your entire fucking history, and they have to go back and retry all those cases. Like, you right. have an important job, Leslie. Keep yourself together.
Right. And then here's the other thing. You have attorneys that do that, and you have to go back and retrial all these cases. That comes out of taxpayers' money.
Oh, yeah.
It's not free to do all of this.
Right.
The attorneys just don't get paid because that's it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially when you've had people that are in there and spent tens of thousands of dollars on defense attorneys, that, hey, now they don't have that money anymore.
Right, right. Yeah.
Now they're stuck with a public defender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting to see. I think Scott did it. Let's be honest. Scott did it. You don't buy a boat that nobody knows about. You don't, this, there's a whole lot more. But the fact that there was a cult going around with other missing, there was another missing pregnant woman. There, mm-hmm. The robbers across the street. I do feel like they had an obligation to tell everybody. For us to find that out 20 years later, it's like, well, fuck, did he get a right. fair trial then? Because if I ever get charged with something, I want a fair trial. So I believe Scott deserves a fair trial. And right. The district attorney does a great job, and he's still found guilty. But no matter what, he deserves a fair trial, because I want
one. Yeah. Right. And I just had this thought, but that's because I'm me. I think if I was on trial, I'll be in there with the attorney doing all the work, looking for every little
nook and cranny. Oh, I would too, right? Yeah.
I'd be like, what about this? What about this? What about this? You better bring this up. You better, you know, just because that's the way I run, right?
Right.
But not everybody's like that.
No, especially when somebody's saying, you know, don't worry, I got this. This is what I do. I got it.
Right, because I would have been like, dude, there was a robbery the same day.
Right, why haven't we talked about that? Right.
Dude, there's a cult. I know there's a cult going on. Why aren't we talking about this? I mean, he may not have known about, Scott may not have known about the cult, but he sure as fuck knew about the robbery.
Right, and because the press is what it is, the narrative the press sold was a cheating husband who didn't want a child and was having an affair. And that was the story. That was scandalous. So, yeah, anyways, Scott Peterson, we'll see how that turns around. So that's three articles from, excuse me, the West Coast. The fourth one I wanted to mention really fast is that the father of this Seattle gentleman that was killed in CHOP, you know, that safe yes. zone that they had created with.
Safe.
Yeah, safe zone. Within Seattle that happened after the riots, and the police have now gone in and restored order. But during their peaceful protests and taking over all these cities, people died there. And so now this father is suing mm-hmm. the state because his son was murdered there and the ambulance couldn't get through and this couldn't get through. So then reading it, like, I'm torn of, well, then who's responsible for it? Is it this responsibility of the protesters? The protesters created that situation and it was killed because of that situation. But then he is right. Just like New York City is being sued by the businesses that were destroyed in the riots, he paid his taxes. And the government of Seattle decided to let it roll. Let's just let him do it. Yeah, they failed him.
They did, because they allowed lawlessness and no order and for everybody to roam around like it's the fucking wild, wild west.
Right, and his son right? died because
And of his
that.
Son died. The point of your mayors and your governors are to protect you. They're supposed to keep you safe. Right, that's their whole point. And if they're not doing their jobs, then they're held accountable.
Right. Right.
And so I think it's great that he's suing them for $3 billion.
A lot of money. Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And he should get every fucking penny of it. And it should all be state money. Nothing should come from the federal government because they refused help from the federal government time and time and time and time again. You know, Trump's like, we'll come in, we'll help you take care of it. Nope. Like, I don't fucking want Trump's help. I'm better than that. You know, now look at him.
Yeah. And I think the state, along with local government, mm-hmm. they're responsible for that. Like you said, they not only did they pull back and allow this lawlessness, they denied help.
Yeah.
And because of that, this young man died, and they have to be responsible for that. You have a duty to defend the greater good.
Yes.
That includes the entire community. And when a peaceful protest becomes a captive city block,
because that's no longer peaceful.
It's not. You have a right to defend the people that are living there, and they did not do that for weeks.
Right, because the feelings of a few do not outweigh the greater good of the more majority.
Right, 100%. Yeah. So, Will, again, it's a crazy, crazy article from the West.
It is. Like, the hell is going on over there? It's like they've all lost their fucking minds.
It's the wild,
did
wild
you,
West.
Okay, and we're just going to... Did you see what California is doing about making pedophiles a lesser offense?
No.
They're allowing... Oh, and I haven't dived into it yet because it just came out. But California is basically saying that if there's a 10-year gap between a 16-year-old and a 26-year-old, and if it's consensual, like there's no charge, or, I mean... 10 years. It's crazy.
10 years is a pretty big age gap. I think in Florida, Nate's not here. He knows it like the back of his hand. I think it's like 23 and 16 or something like that. As long as you're under 23 and they're above 16,
right,
then it's okay. It's not statutory rape. But 10 years, that's a big difference.
It's a big fucking difference. That means a 24-year-old could have sex with a 14-year-old.
Right.
That's pedophilia, yeah. Guys.
It is, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Especially at that young age for teenagers where, you know, the teenagers look a certain way, but mentally the last thing they need to be done or be have is sexual control from a man, because that's truly what it is, right. Is a man at that point.
Exactly. And so, like,
oh, that's scary.
It's very scary. California's lost its mind. I, at this point, wish California would take its plate from the country, separate it, and move on out into the ocean somewhere.
So undo them in this great United States. Just peace.
I went.
Can they do that?
Well, no, I wasn't thinking like actually separating from the country. I was thinking more like physically there is a plate line that runs across California. Yeah. And I'm like, they just...
Yeah, that they say one day it's going to be an island. Yes,
I wish they would just go ahead and be an island, especially right now with all the crap that's going on. Just go over there and be an island.
I do question, can a state unbecome a state?
Yes.
They can? Okay.
They can unbecome a state, which means they would become a country on their own, which means... If you are an American citizen, you better get the fuck out of that country, right? Because you no longer have the backing of the federal government. You have no longer the backing of the U.S. military. There's no National Guard. There's nothing. There's not even, there's no money. They have to create their own currency.
Right.
So if a state was to actually leave the United States, if you are living in that state... You better get the fuck out.
Yeah. I don't think it would ever happen just because of they need the financial backing. They need the military. You know, states don't really have their own military, their own all of that stuff. It, you know, besides the police unions, which, by the way, they wanted to fund them in California, so I don't know what you would do.
Right. They'd have a CHOP everywhere. That's what it is. But here's the funniest part. CHOP surrounded by a whole bunch of people carrying guns, yet they want to have everybody turn in their guns. They're against gun
violence. Right. Yeah, it makes zero sense. Well, that was our episode from the Wild Wild West of... At least we had one shining light, and that was our badass bitch.
And she was way on the east.
She was an Englishman. And then there's the crazy people in Cali.
It's crazy. Just totally crazy. I don't know.
Nice. This upcoming weekend's Labor Day. Any plans?
I didn't even know it was Labor Day. I just made real. Sabrina, my weeks are so slammed pack that I don't know. I barely know what day it is.
I can't believe August is here and gone already.
I know. It's insane. It's September, right?
Yeah, okay. It is.
Yeah, I've got no clue. Like, I still haven't put up that Christmas tree that I got.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So.
Well, that's all I have for you guys today. Do you have anything else for us,
Debbie? No, not at all. So, guys, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, give us a shout out at Not a Safe Space Podcast. @gmail.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Bye, guys.
Bye.